Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's November 9th, 2025. Crazy to think we are closing in on the end of 2025. Where has this year gone? You know, the old saying, time flies when you're having fun, and that's what we do over here on the Kicking Out Podcast. I'm flying solo tonight, as you can see. No Shep, no Paul. They had other obligations. Hopefully, we can be back in full force next week. I mean, we're closing in on full gear. Full gear is 2 weeks from last night. We'll definitely be in full force before then for our full gear prediction show. I mean, we still haven't seen Shep on the pod with the KOP predictions title since he won it at WrestleDream. So, but like I mentioned on last week's episode, just that time of year, everybody's schedules are a little busy. Everybody's lives are a little busy. So it's all good. So, and I know I'm recording a little over an hour earlier tonight than normal. Got my reasonings, but you know, my wife's been sick a little bit, down with a bug. So she's just fighting that to get over that. And she asked me if I could record it a little earlier tonight than usual, since it's just me. So I said, sure. So, you know, happy wife, happy life sort of thing. So, but hey, at least I'm here on our regularly scheduled night on Sunday and doing it live instead of recorded. So hopefully some of you watching on YouTube will be jumping in with some comments. And if you're listening on your favorite audio podcast platform, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you listen, please give us that 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate that. And if you're not already following us on all social media platforms, you can find us at Kicking Out Pod, Facebook, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, and of course, YouTube channel. So hit that like button, that follow button, that subscribe button, notification bell on YouTube so you know whenever we're going live with one of our podcasts or when we're dropping other content on the channel, which could be my Who's Next series, in which I go through after every AEW pay-per-view. Just started doing this a couple months ago. I go through each title in AEW, which AEW just introduced another title, which I'll be talking about here momentarily. But I go through all the titles, and I predict who's going to dethrone the current said champion of each title. So fun little series I've been doing the last 2 months, and people seem to enjoy it. I'm going to keep it going through the end of 2025 and through 2026. And I got some ideas for some other content as well coming, and hopefully I'll be able to strike up some more interviews going forward with some other wrestling content creators and maybe some authors, some pro wrestling authors and different things like that. Heck, maybe some AEW talents or AEW staff. I don't know. Don't have any plans set in stone right now, but hopefully we'll be starting to work on some of those things. So with that said, let's get into some of the news in AEW going on this week. It's been a decently newsworthy week, I feel like. I mean, we've had some weeks that have been more newsworthy, but definitely some as of late that have been pretty darn slow. But I want to talk about an item that just came out, reported, I think, last night. If not, the reporting's been ongoing today. And that is former WWE superstar Tegan Knox, who's now known as Nixon Newell. She made her AEW debut on October 25th episode of Collision alongside her real-life partner Miranda Alize, I believe is how I pronounce her last name. I could be botching that. I apologize if I am. When they confronted Anna Jay and Ty Mello, they faced off against Megan Bang and Marina Shafir on the November 1st episode of Collision. Marina and Megan Bain made pretty easy work of them, which they should, because you're trying to establish this dominant new tag team with very strong characters in Megan Bain and Marina Shafir in the AEW Women's World Tag Team Tournament. So you got to have them kind of squash, I guess you could say, in a way, whoever they're facing. And that happened to be these two ladies. Well, they were scheduled to take on TJ on the November 8th episode of Collision, which was last night. But TJ ended up facing Maya World and Han instead. And according to a report from Mike Johnson of PW Insider, New Orleans Elise walked out of the Collision taping on November 8th, less than an hour before the show was supposed to go live on TNT. Johnson reported that New Orleans Elise were set to lose against TJ, which neither woman was too happy about, resulting in the pair walking out of the event. Following the report, both Newell and Elise took to their social media accounts to address the situation, with Newell saying, "Not everything you read is true, remember that," while Elise stated that the pair have a lot to say before reposting a lot of comments on X about the situation. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select released a follow-up report giving more details about the situation, revealing that Newell and Elise walking out wasn't necessarily about the fact that they were asked to lose to TJ, but that neither woman was happy about the fact that their match would have only lasted around 3 minutes. Sapp noted that Elise has been the more vocal of the two, but that Newell was also unhappy with the situation. As for the reaction from within AEW sources and the company told Fightful Select that they were quite shocked with the situation, while talents who liked both Newell and Elise believe they should have handled the situation differently. One source even stated that many talents had gone to bat for Newell in particular, as she had revealed how difficult it was to get bookings over the past year following her release from the WWE. And while neither woman had signed a contract with AEW, many people had pushed for them to appear. AEW sources also confirmed with both PW Insider and Fightful Select that Maya World and Han gained points backstage, and received a lot of praise for stepping up on such a short notice, with many people commending their professionalism. So, I mean, I guess we'll wait to see the facts. It'll be interesting to see if New and Elise come out with their side of the story. But assuming what's been reported by both PW Insider, Mike Johnson, PW Insider, and Fightful Select, Sean Ross Sapp, assuming what they're reporting is true or accurate, or a majority of it's accurate, probably not good for these two ladies to be burning bridges, especially when one of them's already been released from the WWE. And there's only so many promotions that have TV deals that you get a lot of exposure outside of the indies out there. And if you're going to burn your relationship with one of those companies, that's just one less you can be working for. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's always interesting when somebody's reported as leaving a show, especially the day or night of said live taping. So we'll see. But yeah, they're very interesting stuff there. Cause I thought it was cool to see them pop up and confront TJ a few weeks ago before their match with Megan Bain and Marina Shafir. But if the relationship fizzled out, it's just too bad there. So we will see. Maybe we'll have an update. And I know I got a comment last week on our YouTube channel of not reading the report correctly of what Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select reported. Peeling back the curtain here a little bit. More times than not, I'm reading what's on WrestlingInc.com. So I'm reading right from their website. I am a $5 a month subscriber to Fightful Select, but I don't want to be on my phone reading all the time. I have two monitors up here. So I'm reading from WrestlingInc.com, and I'm just reading the select inserts they have of the reporting from their sources. So, I mean, I get it if you have beef with me on that, but, you know, take it up with Wrestling Inc., with the website I'm reading things through. I mean, a lot of it's that I report and talk about on this on KOP is in my opinion, but you can tell when I'm wording certain things that I'm reading it directly from a source. So, which like this one, backstage report on Camille's status with AEW. The last time we saw her was on the November 30th edition of AEW Rampage, which occurred just days after she and TBS champion Mercedes Moné ended their association. During Fightful Select's Q&A portion of their weekly show, Sean Ross Sapp reported that Camille has remained under AEW contract, with previous reports indicating that it still had plenty of time left on it. As for Camille's All Elite Wrestling related whereabouts, the outlet added that she has not even been backstage at the shows, nor has her name been discussed within AEW's creative circle. So, yeah. I mean, she made her debut in the summer of 2024 as Mercedes Moné's bodyguard, or heater, if you will. She picked up wins over Queen Amanada, Robin Renegade, several other local independent talents. She suffered her first and only loss to Chris Statlander in October of last year. I don't know. I'd like to see her back. I think she'd be a good addition to the women's division. I mean, she's appeared in other projects, Queen of the Ring movie, the revived American Gladiator series. So I don't know. I guess time will tell, but I guess with how we've seen talents come and go and some talents that are under contract never utilized, I guess my hopes aren't real high that we'll see her back on AEW television in the near future. But I'd welcome it for sure. I always liked the way she looked and liked the way she worked. So AEW's Dustin Rhodes provided an update on the injury return timetable. He's been on the shelf since August due to double knee replacement surgery. And he replied to a fan on X who was asking how his knees were feeling. He admitted that they are hurting him a bit, especially in the mornings. He said he does have a good ways to go. And saying, remember, I am 56 and pushing hard just takes time. Not young anymore. Probably March, I should be ready to kill everyone. LOL. Maybe I am pushing hard, my man. So, yeah, wish Dustin the best in a speedy recovery, of course. His last match we saw, he lost. He was trying to get the TNT Championship from Kyle Fletcher. No, excuse me. He is after he won the TNT Championship at All In. He was defending it against Kyle Fletcher, and he dropped it on the episode of Collision, the Chicago Street Fight back in July. So, in which Kyle Fletcher stabbed him with the screwdriver in the knee. So, yeah, wishing Dustin a speedy and quick recovery. All right. And another big news item that made headlines over the weekend was an AEW star made a challenge for Hiroshi Tanahashi's Wrestle Kingdom 20 retirement match. And that was the current Continental Champion, Unified Champion, I should say, Continental International, the Unified Champion, Kazuchika Okada. So it was, you know, wondered for a long time, kind of like everybody's wondering who John Cena's last match on December 13th, it's going to be in WWE. It was wondered who's Tanahashi's retirement match at Wrestle Kingdom 20 going to be. And it's one of his long rivals, a guy he has a lot of history with, Kazuchika Okada, which I think is awesome. I think it's the right move. And looking forward to that. I know Shep, of course. I wish Shep was here and he could give his opinions because he loves New Japan, loves Wrestle Kingdom, loves the Tokyo Dome. So all of this I know is right up his alley. Loves Tanahashi, loves Okada. So that's going to be a lot of fun to follow. So you got it. You're going to have that building. You got the rivalry between Kenoshita Takeshita, Kazuchika Okada building on AEW programming. I'm enjoying it all. Everything Okada touches right now is gold, in my opinion. So yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of fun. So, all right. And, you know, the title of this episode was AEW introduces yet another championship. You know, I was talking earlier when I was making a plug for my Who's Next series, our YouTube channel, in which I predict who's going to dethrone each and every current AEW champion. Now I'm going to have a new championship to talk about the next time I do one of those, which will be after Full Gear and before World's End takes place in December. It's the AEW National Championship, which when I, you know, as a big sports fan, when I think national championship, I think of college athletics, not necessarily professional wrestling. But, you know, I'm a big fan of designs of belts. So I'm interested to see what the design of this belt's going to look like. If it's going to look like what the NWA's national championship looked like back in the day, or if it's going to take on a whole different look. This the first holder of this championship will be decided at Full Gear in a casino battle royale, which we've seen a lot of people already put their names in for. We've seen Jet Speed put their names in there. We've seen Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley put their names in there. I have no problem with them deciding a champion this way because it gets more people involved on the card of the pay-per-view that otherwise wouldn't have a match. Gets them featured. But I got to be honest, I don't think AEW needed yet another title, even though this one, it sounds like, will be defended wherever. AEW, CMLL, New Japan, ROH, wherever. And actually, I think it's already being advertised that it's going to be defended at ROH Final Battle on the first Friday of December, December 5th, I believe. So I don't know. I think there's too many belts across pro wrestling in general. I think WWE has too many titles when you consider NXT. I think AEW has too many titles, especially when you consider ROH. I think they could merge some of the titles together, do away with some of the titles, which I don't see Tony Khan doing. I mean, the only title he's really gone away from completely was the FTW title. I mean, I would have rather seen like a hardcore championship being introduced, especially with, you know, the rugged style AEW likes to run their programming, the kind of more bloody, edgy content compared to WWE, at least. I would have liked like a hardcore title of some sort. I guess that's kind of what the FTW title was, but they never really went real deep into it as I think they could have. But hey, I'm not the one who runs the company, so Tony Khan's introducing yet another championship, and we'll see how it goes. I can't really make a prediction who I think is going to be the first champion holding that title because don't know everybody that's going to be in the Battle Royale at Full Gear. But, I mean, Full Gear's card, I mean, like I said, as of this recording on November 9th, we're less than 2 weeks away to Full Gear, and the card's filling up. We got Samoa Joe versus Hangman for the world title, Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher for the TNT title, in which if Mark Briscoe loses, he has to join the Don Callis family. We have Brodito facing FTR for the world tag team titles. We have Mercedes Moné facing Chris Statlander for the AEW Women's World title. I'm assuming we're going to have the championship match for the AEW Women's World Tag Titles at Full Gear. So we'll see if Okada will be defending the Unified title. I don't know. So a lot of the cards getting filled up. I mean, it'll be a banger of a show. I'm sure it'll be a hot crowd in Newark, New Jersey. You know, Full Gear is kind of becoming that East Coast pay-per-view. You know, back in 2019, it was in Baltimore. 2020, of course, it was in Daly's Place in Jacksonville. 2021 was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's where Hangman dethroned Kenny Omega. That was supposed to be in St. Louis originally, but they changed it to Minneapolis. And then I believe the last couple of years it's been on the East Coast and in Newark. Let me see. Let me fact check myself here. Good old Google machine. Let's see. In 2022 is in Newark. 2023, it was in Inglewood, California. That's right, at the Forum. That's when MJF defended the world title against Jay White. Last year, Newark. This year, Newark. So three of the last 4 years in Newark, New Jersey. So it's kind of becoming a tradition, I guess, to run in Newark. I know other markets probably are upset by that. But when AEW is running 10 pay-per-views a year, I don't really have a problem with one of them sticking in one location, especially if it's doing well. I was glad to see Full Gear get out of Chicago this year when they went to Toronto. And I live 3 hours away from Chicago, but yet I've never went to an event they hold in Chicago because I don't really enjoy going to Chicago all that much. In Chicago, it's plenty of AEW events, pay-per-view and non-pay-per-view. I mean, hell, next month they're getting World's End. So they're always getting AEW events. It's kind of like a home away from home. Home away from their Jacksonville home, if you will, for AEW. So I have no problem with Full Gear continually running in Newark going forward, especially if they sell a lot of tickets. it is interesting to look at it. I mean, John Moxley's been, he's kind of the full gear main eventer, if you will. In 2019, he faced Kenny Omega in the unsanctioned Lights Out match. 2020, he defended his title against Eddie Kingston in the I Quit match. 2022, he defended the world title against MJF. And last year, he defended the world title against Orange Cassidy. So he won't be in the main event this time, I don't think. So, and we don't even know what he's doing for Full Gear. We don't know what any of the Death Riders are doing for Full Gear, if anything. Maybe some of them will be a part of the Battle Royale for the National Championship. But, I mean, they got Blood and Guts coming up on Wednesday that they're a part of. So, you know, it's interesting build right now. I mean, you're building the Full Gear. You've been building the Blood and Guts. And now you've also been building this the Women's World Tag Team title tournament. So a lot of different builds going on, a lot of pieces moving around to put all the puzzle together, if you will. But no, all good. So Dynamite this Wednesday night, I thought was a pretty good show. Saw the Ops confront Tony Schiavone start the show. But then we saw Hangman get involved. We saw Eddie Kingston and Hook. And then that led to Hook throwing out challenge to the Ops for the Trios title that night for the main event, which Samoa Joe accepted. So I'm like, all right, I can get down with that. You know, I'm glad we're seeing the Ops defend the Trios championships a lot more lately. And I'm like, Hook, Hangman, and Eddie Kingston, interesting team, but I could get on board with putting the straps on them. But I'll get into talking about that main event here in a bit. We saw Orange Cassidy against Claudio Castagnoli in a Blood and Guts advantage battle. I liked how they did this on the women's and the men's side, where you had three matches spread out between Dynamite and Collision, with whichever team won two out of three gets the first person advantage in the Blood and Guts match. So I thought that was a nice little spin on it. You know, I was surprised by the outcome of this match. Honestly, I thought Orange Cassidy was going to go over Claudio. But we saw Claudio get the win over Orange Cassidy. So, yeah, he hit him with a pop-up uppercut to get the win. Then backstage, Renee Paquette was standing by with Mark Briscoe, Kyle Fletcher, and Don Callis. That's where we saw the proposition that Callis told Mark he needs him to put something on the line in the bout. So he has to join the Don Callis family if he loses to Kyle Fletcher. And Mark accepts because he's confident he won't lose. And I'm taking it that Paul and Shep won't listen to this pod or watch this pod before we record our next one. And yeah, a little spoiler alert for all you guys and gals that watch and follow this podcast and will be watching or listening to our Full Gear Predictions pod here in a couple weeks. I will be picking Mark Briscoe to take that TNT title off Kyle Fletcher. I'm a big Kyle Fletcher fan, but I thought we were kind of done with the feud between him and Briscoe. It was him and Briscoe 5 at WrestleDream. So the fact that Briscoe's getting yet another shot at the TNT title, and while him being a part of the Don Callis family could be a little interesting, even though I think they already got way too many members as it is, I just think it's time for these two to move on to something else. And I think he takes the TNT title off of Fletcher, and then Fletcher goes right up into the main event picture. So Mercedes Moné and Athena, always great to see Athena on AEW programming, versus the Babes of Wrath, Harley Cameron and Willow Nightingale, in the quarterfinals of the AEW Women's World Tag Team Championship Tournament. Very fun match here. We saw Chris Statlander come down and distract Mercedes Moné. We saw Billy Starks run down and look to hand Athena her Ring of Honor Women's World Championship, but that's when Statlander ran down to the ring, chased Starks away. Athena looked to grab her title belt, and Willow Nightingale managed to catch her with the Doctor Bomb. Harley Cameron followed it up with a variation of a rolling cutter on Athena for the win. So not only were Mercedes and Athena out of the tournament, which I thought they would be facing Mina Shirakawa and Toni Storm in the title match for these titles, not only are they out, but Athena takes the pin, Harley and Willow moving on to face the Sisters of Sin, Sky Blue, and Julia Hart. So a lot of fun. And I like that. I like that. I was surprised. I like that we saw the upset. It makes me as a fan feel like I have to make sure I'm tuning in to these, to the tag team matchups in this tournament, because anything can happen. So very intriguing twist there for the tournament. We saw Tony Schiavone speak with the Hurt Syndicate. They hurt people, if you didn't know. MVP Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley. That's when we find out that Shelton and Bobby are going to be part of the National Championship Battle Royale at Full Gear. And we saw the man come out, and pretty much, I believe they said they're going to be in the National Championship Battle Royale as well. So, Darby Allin versus Daniel Garcia in a Blood and Guts Advantage battle. I figured Darby would win this one, especially since we saw OC lose the opening contest against Claudio, and Darby got the win with Scorpion Deathlock of his own. So, because Daniel Garcia was trying to do the Scorpion Deathlock on Darby, and Darby escaped and transitioned it into his own. I like that Scorpion Deathlock is still living on as a legit finishing submission in the year of 2025. I like how Sting has passed it on to Darby. Darby's using it, because Sean Ross Sapphifel brought up a great point on one of his shows earlier this week. I mean, when you think of moves, finishing moves, especially submissions in the 1990s, you think of the sharpshooter slash Scorpion Deathlock, Bret Hart, Sting. I mean, of course, Ric Flair's figure four comes to mind as well, but the figure four never really finished too many people off as the sharpshooter or Scorpion Deathlock did back then and still does now. So I like that Darby not only has the coffin drop now, but also he has a submission move in the holster and a Scorpion Deathlock. I'm all for it. I think that's a lot of fun. Adds another interesting layer to his character. After the match, Pac clocked Darby from behind, ran him over with a boot. Orange Cassidy runs down to the ring, fires off right hands on Pac. Wheeler Yuta runs over Cassidy with a bazooki knee. Yuta and Garcia rang down hands on Cassidy while Kyle O'Reilly looks to back up Allen and Cassidy. The Death Riders outnumber them. Pac delivers a power pile driver to Cassidy, and Cassinoli lands a neutralizer on Darby, but Roderick Strong runs down in the ring to force the Death Riders to retreat. So this was setting up Roderick Strong versus Moxley and Collision to break the tie for who has the advantage. Oh, we heard from FTR. I got to be honest, this was a segment I didn't care for. I did like one part of it, but I didn't care. They were talking to Bandito's grandmother and his family, in which we saw his brother jump the guardrail of gravity and start fighting FTR. I did like how they went backstage, and Stokely Hathaway, Big Stoke, was guarding the door in which Brody King and Bandito were locked in. And finally, Brody King's arm breaks through the door and knocks Stokely's hat off. And then they come running down to the ring, forcing FTR to retreat. That was a funny spot, but overall, I didn't really care for this angle all that much. I know what they're doing. They're setting up more and more heat on FTR, as they should, the heels they are, for that match at Full Gear, but didn't really care for it. Mina Shirakawa versus Megan Bain with Penelope Ford in a Blood and Guts Advantage match. Mina Shirakawa is taking the place in the Blood and Guts match of the injured Queen Aminata, which we learned before Dynamite went on the air. Tony Khan went on X and explained that Queen Aminata, even though she's a fighter and wants to continue, doctors didn't think it'd be good for her to not only not fight on Dynamite, but even fight on Blood and Guts upcoming this week. So from Greensboro, North Carolina. So Mina Shirakawa took on Megan Bain, and Megan Bain got the win with a running Liger Bomb. After the match, Megan Bain was holding Shirakawa in place for Mina Shafir to fire off right hands on her. Tony Storm came to Mina Shirakawa's aid with a chair in hand, but Triangle Madness ran out to the ring to be down Storm and Shirakawa. Willow Nightingale, Harley Cameron, and Jamie Hayter ran out to help Shirakawa and Storm, but Mercedes Moné runs down to the ring. While she opts not to join the brawl in the ring, she backs into Chris Statlander, stand behind her, and the pair begin to brawl. So, yeah, just everybody brawling, hyping up everything for Blood and Guts. In the main event, we saw the Ops defend their trios titles against Hangman, Hook, and Eddie Kingston. The Ops were victorious in this. Big spot in the match was we saw Powerhouse Hobbs jump off the ramp with Hangman and throw him through a table, setting up a false count anywhere match between the two upcoming this Wednesday night on the Blood and Guts edition of Dynamite, which is going to be 2.5 hours long, by the way, on TBS and on Max. So just for everybody who didn't know that out there. And at the end of the match, Hook was setting up for Red Rum on Hobbs, but Hobbs responded by clinching in a backbreaker or a torture rack, kind of Lex Luger torture rack, on Hook's already injured spine, and Hook tapped out. So the Ops victorious. So the Trios titles did not change hands on Dynamite. Collision, I actually watched Collision live last night. That's a rarity for me anymore. I either miss Collision altogether, entirely, or I, more times than not, are watching it on Sundays on my recording. But I didn't have too much going on last night. So between watching college football, what I can watch, because I am a YouTube TV subscriber and conflict with Disney, and you know Disney owns ABC and ESPN, I couldn't watch some of the games I wanted to watch, so I was watching what I could. The games I was watching kind of got out of hand, so I was like, yeah, we'll check out Collision from 8 to 10 live. So loved how it opened up with FTR versus two of the three active members of the Bang Bang Gang, Juice Robinson and Austin Gunn, in which we saw the Bang Bang Gang get the win. So FTR taking a loss. Which, of course, we saw Brodito get involved, and it wasn't a clean loss, but still, good win for the Bang Bang Gang. I like that. I like that Juice and Austin got a win. I thought it was a fun match to kick things off. So then we saw the other member of the Bang Bang Gang, Ace Austin, take on Kyle Fletcher for the TNT Championship. I mean, let's be honest, we knew Kyle Fletcher wasn't going to drop the title, especially because they already announced that he and Mark Briscoe facing for the title at Full Gear. But this was an awesome opportunity for Ace Austin to show everybody what he can do that hadn't already seen him in action. And these two put on the match of the night. This was the match of the week, in my opinion, for AEW. This was a banger of the match. You know, I've said this on the podcast before. I knew Ace Austin's name when he was in TNA, but I wasn't too familiar with his work. And what I've seen so far of him as a part of AEW, I've really enjoyed. I mean, the dude, I was telling my wife this last night, the size of the dude's legs are unbelievable. His legs are like tree trunks out there. He looks like a pro's pro. Kyle Fletcher, of course, I'm a big Kyle Fletcher fan, the protostar. He looks like a pro's pro. This match was a lot of fun. In the end, Fletcher did get the win. He went up to the top rope and dropped Ace on top of the rope and pinned him to retain the title. But a lot of fun. And I love the way that TNT title looks. I think it's my favorite looking title they got in AEW. And it might be my favorite looking title across all pro wrestling, even though, and I know this is probably a not popular take, I do like the current World Heavyweight Championship over in WWE. That's currently CM Punk's. I like that title a lot. And I even actually have that title over here in my office because I was a big fan of the big gold title back in the day. And I thought that was a good looking title. And in earlier this year when I bought it, it was on, I got it on heck of a deal on sale on WWEshop.com before tariffs and everything took the title prices even higher than they already are. So I would love to get my hands on that TNT title someday, but price is going to have to come down a little bit on ShopAW.com before I do that. So we saw TJ pick up the win, Anna Jay and Tay Mello, like I already mentioned earlier, and then the report of Nixon Newell and her partner walking out. TJ got the win, about 3-minute match. I mean, they're active in the women's tag team championship tournament, so of course they're going to get the win. Sky Blue versus Jamie Hayter in a Blood and Guts Advantage match. Fun match here. Jamie Hayter got the win, which everybody, I'm sure, expected her to. Sky Blue did an arm drag at the end of the match, but Hayter responded with a lariat for the win. After the match, Julia and Tekla attacked Hayter, and then Willow and Harley came to even things up, which led into Tekla versus Harley Cameron for, this was the rubber match. So we saw Megan Bain win over Mina Shirakawa on Dynamite, and then we saw Jamie Hayter beat Sky Blue, so it was 1-1 going into the Tekla Harley Cameron match. Good match. I like both these ladies. I think Harley's improved as much, if not more so, than anybody on the roster in the last couple of years, with her overall character and her in-ring ability. And Tekla's been awesome since AEW acquired her earlier this year. Tekla got the win. Harley went up to the top for a swanton, but Tekla moved. She hit Harley with a running spear for the win. So her team gets the advantage. So, yeah, Tekla, Sky Blue, Julie Hart, Megan Bain, Mercedes Moné. They get the advantage. So it'll be interesting there. I wonder which Blood and Guts match is going to main event Dynamite. I have a feeling it'll be the men's match, but I can make a strong case for the women's main eventing. And if the women's main event, I think that'll be awesome. Both matches are going to kick ass, let's be honest. But yeah, I'd be curious if anybody has their opinion out there, drop it in the comments. In the main event, Roderick Strong versus Jon Moxley once again in a Blood and Guts advantage match. I got to be honest, I love what they're doing with Mox's character right now. He's struggling to pick up wins. I think that's eventually going to be the reason we see the Death Riders turn on him. And that's kind of the split of the group. We saw Roderick Strong win via countout. Jon Moxley got his foot grabbed from under the ring. And everybody paying close attention could tell that hand that was grabbing Moxley's foot had a lot of tattoos on it, a lot of familiar tattoos. And after the bell rang, Moxley escaped to the barricade and was stunned. Pac lifted the ring skirt and got tased. Darby Allin emerged with a taser and backed off Yuta. Roderick Strong kicked Yuta through the ropes. Darby Allin jumps over the barricade and points the taser at Moxley, who stumbles and falls to the floor as the show goes off the air. So the good guys, the good team, has the advantage there. So Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, Darby Allin have the advantage over the Death Riders, Pac, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio Castagnoli, Daniel Garcia, and Jon Moxley. So it's interesting that one of the Blood and Guts is 5-on-5 this year and the other one 6-on-6. So we will see there. Another interesting thing earlier this week that we saw on AEW that I didn't mention is we saw Luchasaurus and Jungle Jack Perry walking past the Young Bucks locker room, in which they're talking about, you know, we got a chance. We've already won all this money. We got a chance to win $1 million with the 3-on-3 tag match between the Bucks and Josh Alexander, Kenny Omega, and Jurassic Express at Full Gear. And Jack Perry pulls out what I believe was a $100 bill, puts on the table right by the Young Bucks locker room, stabs it with one of his knives that he makes. Luchasaurus goes to grab the knife. Jack Perry says, nope, leave it there. So it'll be interesting to see if we see a follow-up on that coming up on this week's Dynamite or Collision, or maybe on tomorrow's BTE. I don't know, because BTE's back on Mondays, for those of you who didn't know, on the Young Bucks YouTube channel. Actually, it's just on the BTE's, on the Being the Elite YouTube channel. Shorter episodes than they used to be, but so far I think everybody's been enjoying them. I know as an avid, long-time BTE viewer and follower, I've enjoyed it coming back. So it's still kind of advancing storylines a little bit. So we'll see if we get an advancement there between that whole segment. And I like what they're doing, you know, with the Bucks, the Callis family's trying to recruit them. You can tell they're really not all for it. They even have, you know, they weren't even feeling that great about going against Kenny Omega being part of this 3-on-3 tag match. So we'll see where this ultimately goes. I think we're going to get a Bucks face turn eventually, and wouldn't shock me if they get back with Kenny and eventually back with Hangman for one more run as the original lead, excluding Cody Rhodes, of course. So another solid week of AEW. Really looking forward to Blood and Guts. Blood and Guts is always one of my favorite Dynamites they run every year. Of course, this one's in November this year, which, of course, WWE is running War Games in the Survivor Series later this month, so maybe timing's a little not so coincidental there, but usually they do Blood and Guts in the summer. I like how they're doing it freshly before Full Gear. Get Full Gear going, get Worlds In going, and then we'll be right in 2026 with the Grand Slam shows in Australia and all the other pay-per-views coming. I think AEW is doing some really, really good things, some really intriguing things right now. And I'm happy that I'm joining you all each and every week to talk about it. So hopefully you're enjoying the content that we're producing. Like I said, I apologize that Hadn't been the three of us lately. Hadn't even been the two of us lately. It's been just me lately, but I want to make sure I get some content out to you guys each and every week because I love pro wrestling, especially I love All Elite Wrestling, and I love talking about it. So, and I love making the content for it. So as long as you guys keep engaging with the content and liking it and supporting our podcast and our YouTube channel, we'll keep rocking and rolling at it. So, I do want to announce we are, as a three of us and our buddy Pluggo of Love Wrestling's Between Two Beards, we are going to the Dynamite Show December 3rd in Fishers, Indiana at the Fishers Event Center. I went last year by myself and it was a blast. Always try to go to Dynamite when they come into the Indianapolis area every year if my schedule allows, and actually has allowed every year. I've went to 2019, 2021, 22, 23, 24, now going to 25. This will be the second time they've ran in the Fishers Event Center because it's only a year old venue now as of, I think, this week, actually. A lot better venue than the Farmers Coliseum they ran at the fairgrounds down there in Indianapolis. Newer, cleaner, bigger, nicer, perfect for wrestling. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to hanging out with Paul Shep and Pluggo and checking out some Dynamite. So it'll be interesting. It'll be the second Dynamite after Full Gear, and it'll be before the Continental Classic starts over in Europe, and it'll be actually the last event before ROH's Final Battle, because Final Battle takes place that week, that Friday on December 5th. So it'll be interesting what card we get then, but I just wanted to throw that out there. And if any KOP listeners or viewers are in attendance that night down in Fishers on December 3rd, please say hey if you see us. We'd love to chat it up with you and all that good stuff. So thanks everybody for that tuned in tonight. Thanks to everybody that's listening out there in the audio world. And like I said earlier, if you are listening on the audio world, please make sure you're following or subscribed to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating and a review. We'd really appreciate it. And if you're not already following us or liking us on all social media, go ahead and do so at Kicking Out Pod on Facebook, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, and of course, YouTube. And you can follow the three of us individually if you'd like. I'm at TannerLee92 on X and Instagram. Paul is at Paul Zartman 87, and Shep is at the Shep 27. That all supports our pod without spending any money. But if you do, and I know how the economy is and everybody's tight with money right now, but if you have some and you want to buy some merch and support our podcast and look great doing so, we got two ways you can do that. You can go on kickingoutshop.com. That's where a majority of our merch is at. We got t-shirts, hoodies, zip-ups, drinkware, all on there. But we also have a store on Pro Wrestling Tees. Just type in Kicking Out Podcast on Pro Wrestling Tees. And every t-shirt on there except one, there's one shirt you can get on the Pro Wrestling Tees store that you can also get at kickingoutshop.com. But every other t-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees, you can only get there on Pro Wrestling Tees. That includes our Christmas KLP design. So if you got some money to spend, if you got some money burning a hole in your pocket and you want to support our podcast and look great doing so, we'd appreciate that. And you can go on either one of those websites and buy some merch. So with that said, I know at least I will be back next week talking some AEW with you. Hopefully Paul and Shep are as well. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Have a great week, everybody. Until next time, we'll see you later.
This is where I say goodbye, mwah, and good night, bam!